Pardon me, everyone. This is the operator. Just need to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone on today's PPSAI call on Tuesday, the 11th of February at 1500 UTC. We have John Blumenthal, Luke Seifer, Volker Greimann, Justin Macy, Jim Bicker, Maria Farrell, Graham Bunton, Tim Rees, Royce Ballest, James Bladel, Suzanne Prosser, Sarah Wild, Todd Williams, Valeria Sherman, Steve Metallitz, Phil Morano, Holly Raich, Tobias Sattler, Christina Rosette, Billy Wattenpaul, Michaeli Nalon, Elizabeth Canny, Justin Macy, and Keith Kupferschmidt. We have apologies noted from Catherine McGowan, Kathy Kleiman, Carlton Samuels, and Alex Deacon. From staff today, we have Marika Konings, Mary Wong, and myself, Gisela Gruber. I hope I haven't left anyone off the roll call. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Don.
Appreciate it. And this audio is still not good, but I'll do what I can. I'm hearing an echo of myself. Okay. I think, a few things to think about. I think we're getting very close to a final questions document. Mary, could you bring up whoever is controlling the last version there? Well, that's coming up. Kathy Kleiman recommended moving the one question, number three, to the final grouping out of the main section Kathy Kleiman suggested moving the one question from the main section to reveal. I see her. Yeah, it's not a perfect fit, as she said, but I see her point that it may be a little bit too detailed to be in that main area. So barring objection, I think we'll go ahead and follow Kathy's suggestion. Gemma had some edits that looked okay to me, particularly flagging a duplicated question. I'm just going to mention this up front. There's been a lot of conversation on the list this morning about what the RAA 2013 or other RAA does or does not say. Paraphrasing something I often, and many lawyers say at speeches, I am a lawyer, but I am not ICANN's lawyer. And I think we need to get some questions resolved by ICANN General Counsel as to whether 3773 applies in the context of privacy proxy or not. Off the top, I don't think it does, but that's not my call, or really anybody in the working group. We've got to go to GC on that issue. So I'd like to suggest we table that and then send an email to John Jeffries or whoever else might be appropriate. Any comments or thoughts on what I've just said, or James? That was quick.
Hi, Don. So I'm not going to offer any kind of legal interpretation or definition, but I think in practical terms, if the question is, has that provision of the RAA ever been raised in the context of a privacy proxy service? So I think the answer to that is absolutely. It happens all the time. I'm not going to weigh in on whether it's correct or appropriate or should be changed or anything like that. I think we can certainly say that it is invoked or attempted to be invoked in lots of situations, and the privacy proxy situation is one of those. So I think that's fair. I did also just want to point out that, well, we can save that for a different discussion, but I just wanted to kind of just, you know, say that in practical terms, it is often applied.
I appreciate that. I'm with the registry. I don't see the registrar's side of how business is conducted, so that's a good real-world observation as opposed to my looking at the black and white and trying to
open
an opinion. Could I ask whoever is not on mute to go on mute, except for Steve, who's going to talk now?
Thanks. Steve Metallitz here. I'm in agreement with your proposal. I'm not exactly sure what 3773 has to do with the work that we are doing here, but I agree it's you could take it into a separate channel and I'd be interested to see what you propose to ask the general counsel. But you know, I think this arose because there was a paraphrase of 3773 in one of the definitions. I think it's clear that that paraphrase actually doesn't even belong in that definition. That may have been what has stirred this up. But I think I would agree to take it to table that issue within the context of our discussion. In other words, I'm using American terminology there to kind of take that offline from our discussions. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I think that's become universal, at least in the ICANN world. Offline. any other thoughts, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. So for us to take this back, I think, you know, as Steve suggested, it would be really helpful to actually have the specific question you want us to ask.
Oh, yeah, I'll put something together, definitely.
All right.
And run it by folks, and then we'll get it shipped out. Or shipped to you, rather. They'll do that, you're right. James?
Hi. So just agreeing with Steve, I think we should take this offline. I did want to throw out one point, I think, that supports the statement that it's probably not, you know, squarely in the crosshairs of this working group. I don't think that... or at least my understanding of the working group here is that we would not go back necessarily and start reopening provisions of the RAA for registrars. I think that we have a provision in the new 2013 agreement that says, you know, registrars will only use accredited privacy proxy services. Okay, and then this working group is tasked with going and then figuring out how to hook onto that provision or that requirement by building that accreditation program. I don't think that we want to then spill over and go back and re-examine or ask ICANN Legal to re-examine or reinterpret some of the provisions of the RAA. I think the RAA, the hook in the RAA is fairly clear. You will only use these services that are accredited and blessed by the process that this group comes up with. So I think I'm agreeing with Steve that we don't want to, you know, reopen the RAA.
Right. No, absolutely not. I'm only raising this because there's a question in the thread about under what conditions registrar or proxy services registrars will have to reveal, and it strikes me that part of that will depend on what's considered the controlling language in the RAA.
Okay, well, I apologize if I misunderstood that. I apologize.
Oh, no. No, not at all. It definitely was a valid point. I was just cleaning up maybe how we expressed it. Tim?
Yeah, I think, you know, that just, you know, even when we're done coming up with an accreditation process, that won't preclude someone from, you know, who owns several domain names to coming to some agreement with someone else to license their domain name to someone else for use. And they may not be running a privacy or a proxy service per se. They just have some business arrangement with someone, allowing them to use the domain name. So I don't think this provision is going to go away because we define an accreditation process for actual services that want to operate as privacy or proxy services. And just as an example, I mean, the first biggest customer of GoDaddy, when I first started back in 2001, was a gentleman who owned a few thousand domain names, and for various purposes, and several of them he had licensed out to other people for use. And he wasn't running a privacy or proxy service. I think he was basically, wanting to get into the secondary domain name market. But in the process, they had other people interested in using those domain names in the meantime, so he made arrangements with them to use those names. So I think that, this privacy proxy accreditation thing isn't going to cover every situation. So I think this clause will still need to be there to cover those situations where, registrant may take it up on their own to do something of this nature. And so it needs to be clear the situation that they're getting into, that they're going to be liable for the use of this name, blah, blah, blah. So we can take it to general counsel if we want to. I'm not sure it really requires that, but I don't have any objection to it. But I just want to make that explanation that, why that was there to begin with, and that it wasn't necessarily meant to be a blanket thing that covers privacy and proxy services, at any rate, so for what it's worth.
No, I appreciate that, and the issue you pointed out is exactly why I raised the question as to whether it does apply to what we're talking about or not. But it's been suggested that it does, so I just want to get that clarified. I think we are at the point where we can, like I said, unless there's objection, we can go ahead and with the working group document, working group questions rather, as it stands, we'll make changes that editorial changes that Gemma suggested, move the question as Kathy recommended. I don't think we'll put definitions in the document itself, but staff is going to take all the definitions from all the documents that are in the that are floating around, particularly the ones in the wiki, and come up with a coherent set of definitions for us to use for our internal workings. Seeing and hearing no objection. My DC past is creeping in here. Excellent. Let's move on to the work plan, please.
Don, this is Marika.
Yeah.
I just wanted to flag as can you hear me?
Yeah, the problem is my screen doesn't show a microphone, so I look over here and I can't tell your hands up because I expect to see a mic there. So I'll just do better, okay.
Because I'm actually on the phone bridge, not the Adobe Connect audio. But maybe next time I'll connect that just for visual purposes.
You just dropped out completely.
Oh, so I just wanted to note that Gemma also provided a comment in footnote 6, which I think we didn't cover, because you mentioned a duplication that you removed, but it was also a comment in note 6 that I just wanted to flag. And as well as to note, as we move on to the next, to the work plan, I don't know if it's more helpful to have this document up, as presumably we will first talk as well about order of the charter groupings, or if you prefer the work plan itself.
Good point. Let's leave this here for now because I've got a threshold question to toss out. We've settled on the questions, but something we need to think about is the order. And the work plan, as it's been sent around, is nice and orderly, going from main issues down through the other headings. At least a couple of people have suggested that it would be better to work on the subheads and then circle back. That's got the advantage of maybe fleshing out items that we will consider under the main issues. I think it's got the disadvantage of getting us potentially distracted. The title of our group is proxy privacy accreditation issues. Sorry, I've got three other phones going here. It's quite distracting. excuse me. The title of our group is accreditation, and the issue is if we jump into the details, to what extent might we get distracted from just the basic concept of what's involved in accreditation. I'm not suggesting we'll have to do the step-by-step processes that crosses into the eternal policy versus implementation quandary. But are there some basic points we need to cover up front before we get into details? That's the dichotomy, and I'd love to your opinion. Steve?
Yeah, thanks. This is Steve. I think that approach has a lot to recommend it. I think if you look at the main issues here, the first two questions, what, if any, are the types of standard service practices that should be adopted? Well, most of the rest of the question areas deal with with possible standard service practices. So rather than come up with some list based on what's on the surface of the questions and then have to go back later and change it, maybe it makes sense to start with one of the specific areas and see is that an area where there should be a standard service practice. Second question about distinguishing between privacy and proxy services. Rather than answer that question in the abstract, it may be easier to look at specific issues. So if you looked, for example, in Section 2, got some specific questions about how registrations by privacy proxy services should appear and who is, about verification of customer contact information. And as we discuss those, we can decide whether the rules, the accreditation standards would be different for privacy or proxy. But again, it's easier to answer that question, I think, in a concrete setting rather than in an abstract setting. So I find a lot to like in the idea of jumping in to start off with Section 2 or one of the other sections, and then circling back at a later point to the main issues questions, because by then we will have some perhaps some agreements on what should be in certain standard service practices and what should whether there should be different treatment for privacy or proxy. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kind of a case study approach almost. James?
Hi, thanks. James speaking. And I just wanted to say I agree with Steve's approach or suggested approach here. I think that we can start to then take a closer look at some of these items, probably beginning with item number 2. I don't know if it's buried in here, and I am still kind of trying to get my Zoom controls to work, but I wonder if there should be additional items or some examination or discussion of what types of organizations or entities would qualify for accreditation and what sort of criteria would have to be met. And I'm thinking here not to overburden this along the lines of, for example, the new GTLD program where, you had to give a pint of blood and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm thinking more of the model of what we have for current registrar accreditation where you have to be an incorporated entity or, certain qualifications, just to be eligible for accreditation, I think is another starting point. And maybe it's captured in here and I'm just not seeing it, but I think that that's also worth discussing in addition to just practices and operations.
But you don't think privacy proxy folks, you have to come up with $85,000?
Nothing. Hopefully, nothing quite so burdensome along those lines.
Okay.
But something along the lines of that they should be a relatively professional organization.
Yeah, I think we will have to get into that. I know at least one person, and I think she's on the call, has raised the issue before about how law firms will play into this whole routine. So, yeah, that'll have to be something to look at some point. Tim?
Yeah, so are we, just a question and then based on your answer, a comment. So are we trying to decide right now which of these main issues we want to start with? Is that question? Or?
Well, I think that'll be a logical next step if we decide that we're not going to start with the main section. And certainly that seems the consensus that I'm hearing shouldn't be too precise. I wanted to say on the phone. We'll call it a phone generically.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm hearing through VoIP.
Yeah, I think that the questions, like some of the questions Steve and James raised, are kind of key to most of these other issues. And they seem to be all kind of encompassed in issue number two. Because it's not just a matter of distinguishing between privacy and proxy services, but there's all kinds of other questions in there. You know, if you credit for one, are you accredited for the other? You know, those kinds of things. James raised the issue about particular entities, questions about, you know, how lawyers might fit into that. So it seems like all of that's kind of wrapped up into issue two, or could be, and those are all seem like questions that need to be answered before a lot of these other issues can really be delved into very deeply. That's my thought.
Thanks. Any other? Okay, well, going back in what I said, I'm hearing consensus that we do need to We should start with something other than main issues. So the logical question after that is, do we need to come up with an order? Or at this point, do we just choose, decide what we'll start with and then be flexible on what we go to next? And the reason I raise that is just, starting with, say, I call it a case study approach almost, sometimes that does lend itself to following logical threads rather than being rigid up front. Okay. Ah, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Steve. Yeah, I think while, you know, it's obviously, it's a somewhat arbitrary question of which we start with, but it might make sense to start with Roman numeral 2, which deals with questions like how proxy registration or privacy registration should appear and who is, and then As a somewhat related matter, you know, what verification, validation, et cetera, should be done of the ultimate registrant, the customer of the privacy proxy service, and then it gets into the rights and responsibilities. That's a broad question, but the first two are a bit narrower anyway, and maybe that's a good place to start. I'm certainly open to other suggestions on this, but just to throw that out as a possibility. Thank you. Don, are you with us?
I'm sorry. I just asked Holly if she's on mute. I was on mute.
Yeah. You were on mute. I didn't hear you.
Yes.
No, I'm not on mute. I like starting with the point that I think James raised, which is we are talking about a specification that is going to, it should say who is in or out in terms of being accredited. What are the tests we're going to do, which is, I assuming, our main job, to define who should or shouldn't be. So part of that is, yes, is there a difference between privacy, proxy, what is it? And then what boundaries are we going to put around? It may be there, you know, are they a company, are they an organization? And some of the reports saying, yes, well, you know, people like lots of banks, et cetera, use these. So, you know, what are the kind of boundaries we're going to put around both different sorts of terms like privacy and proxy? And maybe that's even where you start, since that's actually the task that we've been assigned. Thanks.
Yeah. That's your point. Okay, thanks. Michele?
Hi, good afternoon, Michele speaking. I'm a bit confused. Why would we want to be precluding anybody at this juncture, apart from the kind of obvious, the obvious ones? I mean, in very simple terms, you wouldn't want to accredit a criminal. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. The issue around the legal status of the entity could be problematic, because we're going to have to accept the fact that whether you like it, love it, hate it or otherwise, lawyers will act as proxies for their clients. I cannot speak to US, Australian, Canadian or any other jurisdiction's laws, but under Irish law, a solicitor, in other words, a lawyer, cannot be a limited company for some bizarre reason, which means they have all sorts of fun and games getting insurance, though I don't feel much sympathy towards lawyers in general. So
watch it.
I knew it was going to upset at least one lawyer on this call. I would look at, I mean, I think I suggested this in a previous email. I mean, looking at the accreditation criteria for registrars as a baseline, but obviously taking into consideration that if, for example, proxy services are going to be offered by lawyers, and in some jurisdictions lawyers cannot be body corporate, that has to be worded in some way. Now, at the same time, obviously you don't want a situation where you're going to give accreditation to John Joe Murphy, who probably doesn't have a fixed abode and is using a P.O. box. But, you know, I'm always hard on lawyers, Maria, because they cost me a bloody fortune and they send me spurious takedown notices all the bloody time. I'll shut up now. Thanks.
Yeah, everybody's got half his own entertainment. Tim?
Again, I just wanted to state that I think, personally, we should start with main issue number two, because to me it's kind of a threshold question. I mean, if we're going to distinguish between the two, then we're going to have potentially different accreditation requirements or something slightly different. There's clearly going to be different other policies that might apply to proxy services versus privacy. To me that's an important question in order to get in deeply to all the other things. And then I think wrapped up in that could be some of these other questions that people have raised, such as, where do law firms come into this? I think someone made a comment about Central NIC, which I think is a very apropos question, who's licensing large, huge numbers of domain names. What, if anything, do we do or consider about that, at least going forward? And then the question about who should or shouldn't be, which I agree with Michele. I think what we should do is start with the, what do we have in the current registrar accreditation program in RAA, about who may or may not apply for that, and kind of stick with that. And I think if we want to go out too far outside of that, one of the things that we I feel we need to be careful here is that we're, you know, this accreditation program is kind of creating a barrier of entry. And where does the, antitrust law come in here as far as how far we can discuss some of these things? Because clearly, you know, whether you're doing it for clients of the law firm or if you have a current service, having deep discussions about who we should or shouldn't allow in here can get into some problematic issues for various parties that involved in this working group. So that'd be another issue that I think we need to be careful with, and why I think for some of these things, looking at the existing accreditation program in RAA for registrars is a good place to start.
I like that comment. I used to be an antitrust lawyer. I could have a good time. Of course, in fact, I'm not an antitrust lawyer. May tell you anymore. Might tell you something. I'm just glancing over here at the. Yeah, I was glancing over at the chat and was about to ask Gemma which current speaker, but I guess that was what Tim was just saying. Okay. Any other, Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm hearing a groundswell of support for Tim's suggestion that we start with not Roman numeral two, but Arabic numeral two under Roman numeral one. We could start there, but I think we're going to quickly get into some of these specific questions about what is it that these services would be required to do in order to be accredited?
Yes.
Not who they are, but what are they supposed to do? And
yes.
we could start a priori and say, you know, we'll assume, for example, that they should have the same rules for privacy and proxy, but we might have to adjust that later as we get into some of these specific questions. I can give some examples, but to me, this is starting with a very general question that we would probably have to adjust and recalibrate farther down the line as we get into the specifics. But if that's the if the will of the group is to start there, I'm happy to start there. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Well, I think what we'll do is probably the best thing to do is because this is a fairly substantial change in our approach. Is let's end the work plan. Oh no, we haven't changed the work plan. Poll the group. Through email. I think we've got the consensus to go out of order, for lack of a better term, but ask for more input on what people see as the priorities and how they might juggle the items. I'm going to hang just a second here, see what's coming in through the chat. Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate that, Mary. Good point on the EWG versus our group. It's too bad that we're working concurrently, but welcome to the wonderful world of ICANN. Steve, is that new or old hand?
This is new.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is Steve. I guess I would just suggest we be a little more pointed about this. If there seems to be support for starting with that question about whether privacy and proxy services should have different accreditation standards, why don't we ask people if they have any objection to starting there? And if not, we can get started that much more quickly.
Put your hands
rather
up.
Than just. Oh, making an open-ended question. Thanks.
Okay, that's fair. Just when I draft something up, I'll run it by you and Graham and Beth, because it'll be pivotal in how we move forward. Michele?
Hi, it's Michele again. Just with respect, because this has come up in a couple of different places also, it comes up all over the place. As most of you know, both myself and Stephanie are on the EWG. Obviously, ICANN staff are well aware of that as well. You know, the EWG is much, much, much broader than privacy and proxy. It's looking at anything and everything to do with all aspects of who is past, present, and potentially future. Oh, and Carlton. Sorry, Don. Forgot about Carlton. He's not here today, which is why I forgot. The thing is that, yes, there works. Several things are going on at the same time. As I said in the chat, this working group is not obliged to follow the EWG for obvious reasons, because the EWG does not have any power, is not binding, is not anything. The only thing that I can say about the EWG is that those of us who have been on it have probably spent a disordinate amount of time looking at various aspects of who is over the last year and a bit and what have you. But beyond that, it's not binding at all. And as I said on another mailing list this morning, if the EWG was being used to sidetrack the GNSO, I personally would have resigned by now. The main thing that people need to understand with the EWG is that we're trying to get information about various things, and we've put forward various theories, various thoughts, various ideas, and we've tasked ICANN staff with getting us more data so that we can actually address some of the queries that the community has put to us. I mean, this is in the broader sense, but just so that people are clear, I want to say this once and for all, so I don't have to spend a part of every single call and every email thread explaining that. Thanks.
I appreciate, and that's certainly been my impression since I've been following the EWG since it started up. I'll leave it there. No, I think with EWG.
Now, just if anybody, just one thing. I mean, if anybody has any queries about this or anything to do with that, just ask. I mean, I'm not hard to find. Stephanie and the others aren't particularly hard to find, but I mean, anybody who claims they can't find me, well, really, they shouldn't be on an ICANN PDP or working group.
So that somebody's accusation on another list of a cabal was not accurate?
That was a different list. Let's not confuse things.
I know. I said another list. Details on that offline, to use the term again, to anybody who's interested. Okay, why don't we take some time here to talk about what we want to do in Singapore. What will we have, an hour and a half? Do you know yet, Mary Marika?
This is Marika. I think we've requested an hour and a half, but we're still in the middle of the scheduling process, so we don't have confirmation yet on the whether we get the slot at the time we've requested, but as soon as we do, we'll of course let the working group know. But it's 90 minutes that we've requested.
Okay, so it'll be an hour and a half at most. I just saw some comments here in the chat. I apologize if I cut work plan a little too short there. I had thought we were going to put the questions where we've asked here out for the group's discussion and then come back to the work plan. Is there anything else we need to talk about in here?
Don, this is Marika.
Yeah.
Indeed, for the work plan, because I know we've started talking now about what should go first, but it may be helpful as well just thinking it through, what may go next, because that will definitely help us build the work plan if we can, at least have some thinking about which, you know, if there is a logical order to, you know, which questions to tackle or which categories to tackle first, that will help us as well update the draft. And then, of course, we can still have as well that out for review or comment by the full working group, and maybe trying to think it a bit further through may help that conversation along as well.
So you're suggesting send out a revision now with, say, moving proxy privacy to the beginning, or
on the call, just thinking through if, you know, if the suggestion is to start with, I think the latest I've understood is to start with question two under category one, you know, what would come after that? So I think to think through where we go from there so we can actually start building that up and make that as well a concrete proposal back on the mailing list, and like having discussed on the call today, you know, those on the call suggested going in this order, you know, do people agree or disagree? It's a suggestion.
Okay, the reason I did move on is it strikes me that we might need agreement on where we start before we can build that out. Because, you know, on the call, I'm hearing some disagreement even on that point. So we've got 90 minutes at most in Singapore. Been a few different thoughts, again, floated on the list on how we would use that time. Thoughts welcome. Michele?
Hi, Don. It's me again. I would suggest, as we've done in other working groups, just to kind of explain this, with the public meetings, you get people turning up who don't engage or interact with ICANN in the kind of community sense and PDPs and everything else on an ongoing basis. So trying to encourage people to kind of turn up then. I mean, there might be people from who just aren't around normally. We've had some success with that in the past in other working groups where, you know, we've kind of gone through a few things, explaining what we're doing, where we're at, and then encouraging people in the audience to come up and share their thoughts. I mean, it's kind of good for getting some kind of feedback. I mean, they might all turn around and go, well, you know, every single person here thinks that privacy and proxy is a fundamental right, for example. I can hear law enforcement already groaning. Or you could, you know, people might kind of go, well, we think, you know, whoist should just disappear. And don't understand why this is happening. So, I mean, you're going to get lots of different kind of bits of input. But I always think that if you've got a public meeting, you've got people face to face, and there's people who are going to be there who aren't normally engaged, take advantage of it if you can. Thanks.
Appreciate it. And yeah, open forum's always been a part of any public working group thing that I've worked on. Or public meeting of a working group. That's it. Marika?
This is Marika. And to Michaela's point, I think the typical approach that most working groups these days take, you know, noting as well that, of course, face-to-face time is also very valuable to actually get work done, is that I think they tend to start off with like a little 5-minute introduction as to, you know, what is the working group about, where is this at, you know, what are we trying to achieve. Then actually just dive into, you know, normal working group business for, you know, the next hour or hour and 15 minutes, and then allow the last 15 to 30 minutes for questions and comments and input from those that had a chance to observe the working group discussions. And again, there may be some flexibility there, of course, depending on how many, you know, external participants are there. But I think it's, you know, just to give you some feedback on that, I think how most working groups these days handle their open meetings, recognizing that indeed it's partly intended as well to be open and encourage, you know, external input and views from those that are not members of the working group, but at the same time taking advantage of the face-to-face time that is available to working group members that are present at an ICANN meeting.
Okay, appreciate that. I'm starting to have a feeling that there's some level of standardization to public to the public sessions at ICANN meetings. Am I correct that we will have remote access for, or do we know if we'll have remote access for members? Okay, great.
Yes.
So at this point, we should figure on a working meeting to some level. Well, I think there was concern that we would devote a public meeting to reaching consensus on any of our specific steps. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Open it up to the public and perhaps at the beginning just do a basic, here's what we've done, here's where we're going report. Yes, no, indifferent. Okay, and when I say report, I'd just clarify, there are terms that can have, that's a term of art within ICANN. You know, I'm talking about it's a general thing to present separate from the report that I think we're going to have to do for the GNSO. That wasn't definite the last time I talked to Jonathan Robinson, who's the chair, but that was a while ago. Okay. I'm just noting Maria's suggestion that we have at least 1 hour of working time. I think that may have to depend on whether we get 90 minutes or not. Or if I can ask you to clarify, does the working time include discussion with the public? Just waiting for Maria's answer for a second. Oh, Holly, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just to say what I'm organizing for ALAC, but it will be an open meeting, and obviously I'm going to want many people there. Is one, it's a multi-stakeholder forum on a Monday. 1 hour will just be for talking about where we're up to with the specification on privacy and proxy and what people think. The other hour will be the EWG, which is, they're so related topics even though they're really quite different and for reasons Michele has mentioned. And I'm looking for people to participate in that. I've already mentioned to Michele, but there will be others. Carlton will also be probably dealing with the EWG session as well. But that's going to be an opportunity, not just for ALAC, but it's an open meeting. So it may be that we, as a working group, can spend more time actually progressing the issues. And we can use the Monday session, there will be at least an hour, and it's not a working group. We can use it just to gauge what people are thinking, because that's open to the public as well, and really everybody will be welcome.
Do you know what day that's going to be, Holly?
That's Monday, and the session is 4 to 5, will be the privacy proxy discussion, and 5 to 6 will be the EWG session. They're distinct discussions, but obviously related.
Sure. Okay, appreciate that. Just because I'm starting to fill in my own Singapore schedule, so I'll do my best to
everybody
block.
Please put in the 2 hours on Mondays, it's 4 to 6, will be on the topic. And obviously everybody is welcome.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for reminding us of that.
Marika's saying it's conflict with the joint GNSISCC. Sorry about that. Can't do anything about it. There's only so many days.
Yeah, particularly since meetings got shortened. But yep. That's another issue. Okay. Any other comments on this? Back to the issue of how much time we'll have. Do we know when we might find out?
This is Marika. I think normally the time requested is not an issue. It's more when the meeting takes place that can change. So I think for 90% sure we'll have 90 minutes, unless for some reasons we need to change to a slot where the working group may decide that it needs to cut the time because of conflicts with other meetings or early morning slot. But for now, I would assume that we have 90 minutes.
And hopefully not between 4 and 6 on Monday afternoon, huh?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. Any other comments here? I'll throw it out to the proverbial OBO. Any other business? OOB, sorry about that. All right, and I think our next steps at this point are to get the a final draft of the work plan out. Not the work plan, the charter questions. Ask people for their thoughts on how we move, what order we move ahead with the work plan. And hopefully on next week's call be able to really do a little bit more planning for Singapore, but also make some at least the beginnings of our final decisions on the work plan. Gemma?
Thank you, Don. What about the grouping of charter questions? Are we going to consider that the grouping is settled after this conference call? Because I have some comments. One of them has been answered in this conference call, but there are two others remaining. And I don't know if other members have comments as well. So I just wanted to know when are we going to consider this agreed. Thank you.
What issues are still you think are still outstanding to you?
On the screen. It is my my version. The footnote number 6. I have a comment. Someone has written note that having a public point of contact may mean it will be used for both legitimate and spurious purposes. Yes, I know, but what is the alternative for receiving review requests, complaints, and so on? I don't see the point of having this note here. This is just a question. And a little bit down on paragraph 5, Roman, relay of complaints to privacy and proxy customer. 2B, there is a question. Plus publication of email address of the complainant, and I don't really understand what the purpose of this question is. Why should we publish complainant's email address and where this email address is going to be published? And about the definitions, I noted that staff is going to provide a comprehensive list of definitions. So my third concern is taken care of. Thank you.
Okay. Mary?
Thanks, Don. And Gemma, thanks for the comment. comments. I'm not sure that I can answer them fully, but just to explain that with respect to your comment in footnote 6, there is a reason why that note was put in a footnote, because that is not a charter question to be discussed by the group. It simply was an attempt to capture some comments that were made, I think, perhaps on the list by a couple of members. The charter question really has to do with what sort of contestability responsiveness and what should a published point of contact look like. And members had made the comment that it's possible that having a published point of contact could lead to...
I'm sorry, Mary, you're dropping out.
Well, so this is not an additional question. I'm sorry about that. But maybe I'll just leave it there then, because that seemed to me that perhaps needed further explanation.
Okay. Yeah, we'll send something out in writing on that, but that was my recollection, too. It was more trying to address some points that didn't necessarily fit in the questions themselves. Now, as far as the email, these are implementation questions that we will address, but they've been raised. So I guess we figured they should at least remain in there as pointers. I don't think any answers to anything in this list of questions is set yet, far from it. And some of them we may look at later and even wonder, why was that there in the first place? And we'll see some others that should have been there in the first place. I think that's probably a quick explanation that works, given that we're at 11 o'clock. Be glad to take this back to the list, Gemma, if that would be helpful. Or we can elaborate on what Mary and I just said to the list. So, once again, I appreciate your time. Look for more stuff from us in the next couple of days. I think we made good progress today, at least getting the one major task out of the way. We will talk to you all next week.
Thanks, Dan.